Welcome everybody to the brand new Revis and Budhead podcast, where we talk all things New York Jets and NFL draft. I am your co-host, Joe.
I'm Hussein, your other co-host.
And we are here to talk everything that happened on Senior Bowl weekend with the practices and the Senior Bowl game, of course. Now, we're just going to start off first with a little bit of our favorite points of Senior Bowl week and weekend. And I'm going to throw this immediately over to my co-host Hussein. So Hussein, tell me, what did you see this weekend?
You know, it also kind of worked out pretty well because I was able to watch or see most of the practices and you got the game. So it kind of evened out pretty well. But the number one thing I want to talk about is Trey McBride. Like, he did everything he could have asked for this week. It was a big tight end group in general. Rucker played really well. Unfortunately, couldn't play in the game. There was that one thing that really stood out to me about McBride was that catch in the rain he had. I don't remember who was throwing it. I think it might have been Malik Willis. He had that catch in the rain, completely contested, double coverage. He caught everything all week. And he scored a touchdown in the game too, which I'm sure you'll get to. But overall, the tight ends are what probably excited me the most from both groups. Now, I am biased. I did watch a lot more national team than American team. I didn't get the same
amount of coverage. I think we both did.
I did not get the same amount of coverage for the American team.
This tight end group, it's a really nice group. Now, Trey McBride, you said it yourself. He's got some sticky hands, man. He can really go up above the rim, get the ball, and just pluck it out of the air. Even with corners and linebackers and safeties draped over him, it's pretty impressive. And that's a lot of what I saw in the Senior Bowl game. He makes the tough contested grabs, and that's what I have in my notes. You know, cornerback was draped all over him.
While we're on this, maybe let's just stick to tight ends because I just got more to talk about with them. Jeremy Ruckert was probably better than McBride in practice all week, apparently. Just caught everything. He's got better – his hands, I don't want to say better, but like equivalent where he catches everything. They didn't throw him the ball much at Ohio State, but what would you expect? They have three – first-round receivers on their team, how much is he going to get the ball? But when he did, he caught everything. I remember last year, we were watching a lot of Justin Fields, and the craziest catch I saw all year by an Ohio State player was, I don't know if you remember, in the national championship game, Fields threw like a seam down the middle to Ruckert.
Oh, yes, I remember.
You remember that catch,
oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
And he was great in practice this week, too. Two other guys I really want to mention. One is Isaiah Likely. American team, didn't watch him that much, but he had that on that Sam Howell touchdown in the game on the read option. He was the key block outside. He might be the best pure receiving threat as a tight end in this draft class. But I think a concern with him are people are like, he might be kind of like Mike Gesicki. He's going to play more outside and slot than actually in line. So seeing him being able to block like that was really nice. And goddamn Jake Ferguson, man.
Jake Ferguson had one incredible game, whether it was blocking, whether it was catching, and he even showed a little bit of his stuff after the catch. He hit a pretty top speed for a tight end. I think the broadcast had it had him as 15 miles per hour, I believe.
Yeah, on that little, whoever was calling the plays just called it like they were calling the Jets offense this year if they actually had a tight end.
Well, that's Rob Calabrese. And you could tell a lot of what they were calling. They were trying to see exactly what these players can bring to the field.
I guarantee if the Jets can draft Trey McBride, that play that we saw where he scored a touchdown on, we're going to see that a lot over the next 4 years.
Yeah, that tight end slide behind the line of scrimmage, it'd be a staple. It's something that the offense has been missing because – why are you going to do that when you have Ryan Griffin on the field or any of the other tight ends the Jets fielded? But I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to agree where it comes to Isaiah Likely. And that's really actually the only note I have of him from the Senior Bowl game is that block on Howell's read option. Other than that, though, he really wasn't popping off the screen in any way. I don't know if it was just because I didn't see him on the field, really. It's kind of hard to identify an inline tight end and see their number from the broadcast view. but I didn't see him pop off the screen, whether it was run blocking or whether it was in the passing game. I actually think he didn't even have a single catch in this game, which kind of surprised me. I'm sure if he was on the national team, that might have been different, just considering how involved Jake Ferguson was and Trey McBride were. And
I think the American team struggled. I never really questioned his ability to catch the ball. Everyone questioned his ability to block, and just being able to do that on the goal line, being the key block on a read option touchdown run, huge. So
I will say, from the Senior Bowl game, the two players I have the most notes on, and they're both, all of these notes are good notes, so they're definitely pros, is Trey McBride and Jake Ferguson. And I would say the best thing I've seen from them in this Senior Bowl game is the blocking. Trey McBride, he's magnetic to some of these defenders. And the same thing with Jake Ferguson. Now, the one con I had from Jake Ferguson is that he had a false start penalty on the goal line, which can really be a backbreaker.
That hurts.
That does hurt. And that's not something you want to see, but listen, mistakes happen. And I can't kill someone over just one false start penalty in a game where you had, I don't recall his exact stats off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure he was over 50 yards receiving with a touchdown. And that's in the Senior Bowl game with limited opportunities when you're rotating so much.
Okay. So let's move on from the tight ends. Next huge winner this week, sticking offense, Christian Watson.
Christian Watson was huge throughout practice. Now, I didn't watch a lot of the one-on-ones, but I just saw some of these highlight grabs that he was making. And he's so big. His strides eat up so much ground with each step he takes. And he's so big.
Yeah. I think he's 6'4". He's supposed to run I think 4'4".
I'm pretty sure he's 6'4".
It's crazy. I was seeing some of the tweets from people who were there basically saying they didn't really see him lose one matchup all week.
He certainly dominated. Now, I will say in the game, I was kind of surprised at kind of his lack of involvement. Now, I'm not entirely sure if that was because the quarterbacks weren't necessarily looking his way or what could have been, but he did. I don't know if you saw, I believe it was in the second half where he drew a defensive pass interference on a, I think it was a double move or a go route. I don't remember what it was. But he was able to force the DPI to get them into the red zone, and it led to a score.
He also had that ridiculous catch that
in
the beginning of the game where he off the press, he just kind of threw the quarterback to the ground. I find it hilarious. But
yeah, exactly. And that was the play where Kenny Pickett had defenders in his face.
It was Kenny Pickett that threw that ball,
And it was don't get me wrong, it was a horrible ball.
It was a bad ball.
If that ball was where it should be, that's a touchdown every day of the week, especially probably with his size and his speed. Good luck bringing him down.
I also think, you're speaking to somebody like Christian Watson, you didn't do much in the game. It's because, especially in the Senior Bowl, when you have guys who just come out and dominate practice for all 3 days the way he did, you're not going to gain that much onto your stock by playing in the Senior Bowl anyways, I think in this kind of scenario, the practices mean more. I think also the rest of the receivers, nothing stood out to me. Nothing great, nothing bad, Dobbs in practice was exactly what we thought Romeo Dobbs would be. Nothing crazy, I don't have much else on them. There was nothing that really got me, besides Christian Watson, nobody like Trey McBride got me standing up banging on the wall saying draft him.
He's the kind of player you pound your fist on the table and say, we're drafting him. I'm in the front organization.
I would say the same about Christian Watson. I wouldn't say the same about any other receiver after this week. Obviously, it took a huge hit with Jahan Dotson opting out. So the receivers just kind of dropped after that.
Yeah, I'm looking at my notes and I really don't have a whole lot on much of the receivers. And quite honestly, I wasn't all that impressed. I didn't see much separation. And I don't know if that was just specifically for the corners with sticky coverage, but there wasn't much action in terms of the ball being delivered in the right spot in the secondary to receivers. And I will say I did see Tolbert make some pretty tough grabs with tight coverage on. I'm pretty sure he had a nice comeback. I'm pretty sure Malik Willis threw it. It was in the early part of the game, and he was able to come down with it, but I don't think it stood because of I don't remember if it was offsides or a false start, but there was some sort of penalty that kind of wiped it out, and it didn't end up mattering. But he made some okay grabs. Other than that, really nobody else caught my attention. A lot of people were raving about Calvin Austin III. Now he's got some real shiftiness.
Yeah, but he's like 5'10" or something. Like, yeah, I'm taller than him.
I'm not taller than him, but I'm a little close. I'm kind of a short guy.
I think his like pound was like 5'10". I think it might have been like 165, 170, like soaking wet.
Yeah, he's a small guy, but he can provide some return ability, which does help his draft stock. And listen, if the Jets can't bring back Braxton
Berrios, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Which, listen, we've been getting reports all day today where he wants $9 million a year. If that's the case.
We're not getting into $9 million
for Braxton Berrios. Austin III might have to be a Jet. And, hey, Leon Washington, who was a return specialist for the Jets back in his heyday, was out there scouting, so who knows?
Okay, maybe so we'll
see something we don't, but I'm gonna keep it on offense. And now I think it's my turn to pick a player to talk about. And I don't know if he showed out in the one-on-ones. I'm pretty sure people said he had one amazing pass blocking rep, but I'm gonna throw this at Damian Pierce from Florida.
Oh, he was next guy I was gonna talk about. Unreal.
He is just an absolute load to try and tackle and bring down. He runs with anger that I haven't seen someone run as angry as he did in the Senior Bowl, probably since some of Chris Ivory's runs.
Do you want to hear angry running? Do you remember earlier this year, a clip came out of this running back who got his helmet ripped off and then still ran over three defenders for a touchdown and got called for a penalty because he played with his helmet off? Damian Pierce.
That's the kind of player the Jets could really use to pair with Michael Carter, where Michael Carter can kill you with his elusiveness and shiftiness and breaking tackles. And then you just have this battering ram to come in and just lower his shoulder and push the pile. There were multiple times where the American team would just give it to him, and he would just run it right up the middle and where there was no space, and he would just push the pile. And they gained a few first downs from that. And that's something that the Jets could really use, because we've seen this year quite a few times where the Jets could not convert on short yardage.
And just for if any Jets fans do think of it, because it's a running back from Florida, he is not LaMichael Pirine. Please do not make that assumption. Do not make that correlation.
I in my notes, powerful runner, downhill runner with burst, not afraid to lower his shoulder. Defenders have to be aggressive bringing him down. You're not going to be able to bump shoulders with him and bring him down. You got to use your full body. And there was a play actually where Chad Muma made the tackle. We'll definitely get into him later. But Chad Muma really put his entire body and wrapped his arms completely around his midsection to bring him down. And that's what it took. And one of my notes for Damian Pierce, it's a quote from Matt Miller, actually, that I saw him tweet out that just kind of resonated with how he played all week. And that's just all power.
Yeah.
And you really can't get much better than that from a running back. And thankfully, it's something the Jets need. Now, I think I'm going to pivot to another running back that I really want to talk about.
All right, let's hear it.
Can you guess who it is?
Honestly, not a clue.
This is going to be for Rashad White from Arizona State.
Really? I heard he had a great game, actually.
He had an incredible game in the Senior Bowl. My first note of that I have on him, it looks like he is shot out of a cannon. He's got some crazy acceleration and burst instantly off the handoff. Fights for every yard. And the commentators in the game were talking about him after he had a great run. He averaged 10 yards a carry at Arizona State. 10 yards a carry.
In college, over a whole season.
Yeah.
Really?
I can't even think of the last time I remembered a running back averaging 10 yards a carry.
In a game. Forget, like.
And there was a botched snap, right? I think it was in the second half. And I actually believe, I want to say it was Zion Johnson snapping it.
Okay, so for what it's worth, I just checked him out. He got 10 yards a carry his 2 years ago, or like last year. He got 42 carries for 420 yards. Nice.
Yep. Nice.
this last year, he actually only ended up tragically with 5.5 yards per carry, but those 5.5 yards per carry were 1,000 yards and 15 scores. And he added in 500 yards through the air on 43 catches with a touchdown. So
that tells me that he's got some hands. Now I have to go back and look at his tape to see if it's just screens or if he's actually running some routes, but the Jets could really use a receiving threat out of the backfield, even if it's just for screens, because we saw this year with Ty Johnson, he just simply wasn't cutting it.
If I see Ty Johnson drop another screen this year, I'm going to
I think I'm going to rip my hair out.
I'm going to lose it.
I can't tolerate that anymore. And you got to help your rookie quarterback out. You can't just be dropping easy passes.
Okay.
So, nonetheless, another going back to the whole botched snap. From my recollection, it wasn't the center's fault. It looked like the quarterback just mishandled it. It dropped to the ground. The quarterback picked it up and gave it to Rashad White, and he almost scored. I believe they're on the 4-yard line, and he got to the 1-yard line. They were that close. I mean, if it was a straight give, it's a touchdown. But Rashad White, even with the botched snap, made it close. And there's very little hesitation once he has the ball in his hands of where he's going and which hole he's going to hit.
Speaking of centers, I love Zion Johnson. You know that. Play him at guard. Play him where he knows how to play. Don't try to convert him into a center. I do think you're getting a guy who can be like pretty close to a Pro Bowl level guard, I think. Pretty close to off the bat. Don't get cute with it. If you think you have a guy who can play a Pro Bowl guard, play him at guard. Like, sure, versatility is cool. Play him at guard.
Hey, if Connor McGovern isn't ready immediately for next season, it's not the worst thing to have Zion Johnson to potentially fill in at center for a couple of games, just to slide out to right guard once Connor McGovern comes back. That's if the Jets don't cut him. But I don't think the Jets should be in business of letting, even average offensive linemen go.
I mean, no way.
But again, Zion Johnson, he is a powerful blocker. When he gets bull rushed, he drops his anchor fast and he stops that bull rush dead in its tracks. And the great part about it is that he's quick to the second level in the run game. Now, can you just imagine an offensive line with Mekhi Becton, Elijah Vera Tucker, and Zion Johnson in a wide zone scheme? Not only with their lateral quickness and their ability to get to the second level, just imagine the space Michael Carter would have to run through.
I can't wait to see a team that can actually run the ball. Can't wait. Speaking of linemen, I want to talk about one more. The guy Joe Douglas was making oogly eyes at all week, Trevor Penning. I want to hear what you think of him before I say anything.
Now, again, I'm just going to remind the audience, I mostly only watch the Senior Bowl game. I only really have seen a few clips here and there of the practices.
And me, on the other hand, instead of studying, just scrolled through Twitter for about 5 hours every practice, trying to find every clip and every tweet imaginable about every single play. So,
hey, you got to do what you got to do. But I think I'm going to shock you a little bit. I have more cons listed out for him than I do pros.
I'm not saying that
he's going to be a bad prospect per se, but it didn't look like he could have been as great as he could have been given with how well and how much attention he got during practice. Now, I'm going to go into the pros first, and everyone knows these pros because it's been well documented. First off, he's a nasty blocker. We know that. Second point, he plays through, and I underlined and put in bold, and after the whistle.
Oh, dude, there's videos of him like just shoving people after they're down. It's kind of mean, but also pretty hilarious.
Now, something that I noticed really quickly, especially in his pass sets, is that he has a very quick kick slide against the speed rush. If you have a speed rusher opposite him, he will match him and mirror him very well. And that's because he just has the quickness to get out there in his lower body, and he has the strength in his upper body to just bully them. Now, getting into the cons, I think the biggest con for him is that he doesn't drop his anchor fast enough and he gets bull rushed back into the quarterback. And that happened a few times in the game, in the Senior Bowl game.
It happened a lot in practice too, a lot of him just getting pushed back essentially.
And that's kind of concerning because he did play guard as well, but guard is a position where you're going to be faced with a lot bigger nastier interior defensive linemen who are more likely to utilize a bull rush against you as opposed to an edge rusher. Now, I'm not saying he can't fix this, but it is a bit concerning because it has been a trend.
Yeah,
I agree. Now I'm just going to go, I'm just going to read off some of the rest of the cons that I have for him. And the next one is that I saw him lose his ability to stick to defenders while blocking them, even in the run game. I saw some defenders have the ability to slip off of him and make the tackle when the run was towards his way. And that's just something you can't have happen, especially in an offense that really wants to establish the running game. You can't have people slipping off of you. You have to find a way to stay engaged and stay magnetically stuck to the defender. Another one that I noted, and this was actually on the play where Christian Watson caught that really bad pass from Kenny Pickett, but he got so badly beat on an inside move. It was right off the line of scrimmage. It was a quick swipe and he was free. And that could partially be attributed to why Kenny Pickett threw such a bad ball to Christian Watson. Now, of course, Watson came down with it because he's a beast.
Stud. He's a stud.
Yeah. But if that's most of the QBs in the NFL, it's going to have a similar result. Now, there is another note that I have, and this only happened once, but I do need to bring it up, is that he blocked nobody on a play where the left guard got beat. And he hesitated to block the edge because they're in a wide nine formation. So the wide nine rushed. So the tackle needs to block against him. But the guard next to him got beat on his outside shoulder so badly that it made Trevor Penning hesitate to whether he needs to block him or his guy. And because of that, both rushers got in past them. And nobody was blocked. You can't
let that happen.
I
say you block the closest danger, but don't block nobody.
If it was me and I'm Trevor Penning, I block my guy even if the right guard loses. The right guard still had a piece of him where even though he lost outside leverage, he still had some contact to push him out of the way a little bit and delay it. Whereas eventually both went free because I guess the guards maybe saw Trevor Penning slide over for a second and thought, okay, I have help. And the help never arrived and both came through.
He's definitely a guy that's going to be watched a lot more, especially after this week.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to go to another offensive lineman. And he is someone I was really, really excited watching. And that is Luke Fortner.
Who the heck?
He is a center. He was the center on the American team. And let me tell you, not only was it an absolute pain in the ass to scout him, because there was number 55, who was Luke Fortner, who played center for the American team. And then there was number 56. But I had to watch the game twice just to make sure I had the right notes on the right players, even though number 56 didn't really end up getting anything. But I have 9 positive notes on him and not a single negative. Now,
wow.
From what I've heard and from what was summarized at the practices, he has had a good senior practice week. Now, I'm just going to rattle off some of the notes that I have for him.
Let's hear him.
He's quick and open space on screens. He seems to slide the right way every single time. So the protection is going right every single time because the national team is always in an even front. He consistently stops the interior defensive line rush. He really only gives up about 3 to 3 yards of ground, and then he just stops them. And that's enough. He keeps pass rushes in front of him. He mirrors footwork. And the crazy part is he makes it look easy. It almost looks effortless. he and let me tell you, the American offensive line, for anybody who didn't watch the game, it was an absolute train wreck against the national team defensive line, because the national team defensive line was just having their way with the offensive line, mostly with the edge rushers, who we'll get into later. But he was the bright spot. He was a big bright spot on that offensive line. He got pushed in the run game against Travis Jones, who has had a really good week of at the Senior Bowl as well. And he's no small man either. He picked up a stunt with ease, which looked like it shouldn't have happened, because it's actually against the rules to run stunts in the Senior Bowl, but he stopped it.
Is it really against the rules?
Yeah, it is. You can't.
Wow.
Yeah, you can't run stunts on the defensive line. You can't run motions or any.
Wish we could implement that no stunts rule to whenever Conn McGovern's playing center.
If only it was that easy. If only it was that easy. But the last note I have with him is he has a really quick jump set. And I don't know if you know what a jump set is, but that's really when you're in a passing situation, but you want to come out of your stance as aggressive. So you come out and you hit and you make impact with your defender, almost as if you're run blocking, but then you peel back into pass protection. And he did that so quickly laterally, because he had to do that and pick up an interior defensive lineman who was in three tech lined up over the guard at times. And he was able to do it. So I, along with all my notes, I also wrote down some random observations. And Luke Fortner, all I have is impressive.
All you have is impressive.
Yeah. So, Hussein, who else caught your eye?
Are we sticking with the offensive side of the ball, or are we moving on?
Let's move on.
Okay. Well, defensively, talk of the town, Jermaine Johnson. He played – how do you play so well where you can just literally sit out practice? He came in probably as like a late first round, early second round guy. Probably solidified himself going somewhere between 15 and 25 after this week. So
easily.
But I want to talk about some guys under the radar. You didn't hear anything about Chad Mumma this week, mostly in practice. And that's good, because those practices are designed to destroy linebackers. Those drills they do, like, either you're going to just try to tackle a running back one-on-one in the open field. And as a linebacker, you should do that. That's your job. That's not going to raise your draft stock. But when you're going out in new drills and you're covering running backs in open space one-on-one, most linebackers will get beat by an NFL caliber running back in the open field. That's just absolutely how it works. And that drill just makes them look worse for it. Because now you're like, oh, Chad Mumba's getting beat by a running back catching the ball. I'm like, what do you expect? But also, how often is he going to do that, like, play after play in open space like that? So two guys I really want to talk about, Kobe Bryant, Jalen Pitre.
Hey, I have seen some really good stuff from them in the Senior Bowl game. Now, I don't have many notes on Jalen Pitre. Is that how you say his name? Pitre.
I think it's Pitre.
Petre,
I don't know, like Petri dish.
Petri, okay.
Yeah.
But he made some good plays, especially at the end of the game. And he stopped the screen, read it immediately, sniffed it out in the beginning of the game. He stopped it for,
it was a
1 yard loss.
I think he won the best defensive back at the Senior Bowl award, I think, for the national team. Maybe if there was a specific one for safeties. But the other guy I want to talk about is, I am just so pumped about Kobe Bryant.
He had a really good practice week.
I saw there was the one play I did notice him in the game. He got beat on that. It was everyone's hyping up that one big throw by Desmond Ridder to that corner route.
Yes, the corner route. Yep. Yeah. It's in my notes.
Kobe Bryant's the one who got beat there, but I'm thinking like he got beat, and I'm putting quotes on the word beat there, because he was on the receiver's hip. It was just a perfect throw and catch. You're not going to do much against there.
What I have mostly about him on that play is that he immediately lost ground right off the line of scrimmage. It was really the receiver's release that did him in from the beginning, because he lost a step, but he was able to catch up. But just in the end, it wasn't enough.
Yeah, but other, like, for, remember, we're talking about Kobe Bryant is, he played opposite of Ahmad Gardner, right? He played opposite Sauce, who's a big, you know, want amongst Jets fans. And so what happens is when you're playing for Cincinnati, small school like Cincinnati, and you're playing opposite a guy who's supposed to go in the first round of the NFL, you're the one who gets picked on. You're the one who gets targeted play after play. And he responded by not only being great this year, but very literally winning the award for best defensive back in the country.
He is a really impressive player. And
he came out of Senior Bowl and showed it. He got named the best corners for the national team among all week of practice. He won the award that was voted on by receiver.
Yep. Exactly. Now,
for the national team in practice.
So I will say this. My note split on him for pros and cons. It's quite even. Because he did have some bad moments. Now, one of the really good moments he had, he really stuck with the tackle against Pierce. That he actually really got trucked by Pierce on one of the runs, but he held on and Chad Mumma was able to come in and clean up a little bit. So I got to give him credit, because a lot of defensive backs, when they're trucked by a running back, that's it. They fall to the ground. And I mean, everyone remembers the Adrian Peterson highlight of when he was on the Vikings, when Brett Favre threw the pass to him, he just absolutely demolished the secondary player. But I think we need to move on to one of my favorites from this game, and that's Chad Mumma.
He had a great game, great week of practice.
He chased down Malik Willis in the open field. And let me tell you,
I remember that
play, that really was sideline to sideline, and he took an excellent angle. And that's really difficult to do against someone with Malik Willis's speed and shiftiness. It was just incredible. And he took great angles all game. Great tackle against Pierce, like I said earlier in the show. Stopped him for no game.
I genuinely think the dream of drafting Chad Mumma in the third round is gone.
It's gone, probably.
It's gone.
He's
a top 50 player, I think.
He's likely in the second round. And right. Another thing I noticed is that he is very quick to jump and cover on drag routes in front of him. And he did it in the game, and the quarterback looked at it and looked off because of it, because he was able to jump it. And that's what you need to see. But one of the cons, I will say, he did lose balance in zone coverage. He looked like he wanted to go in two different places, but his body couldn't decide. And he fell. And it was a play. It was a dump off to trying to remember the running back's name. Pledger. It was a dump off to Pledger. It was one of those little hooks that comes in the middle of the defense, and he fell, and Pledger ran around him. But it happens. Players lose their balance all the time.
I think one guy we also need to talk about, a Minnesota edge rusher, Boye Mafe.
All I'm gonna say is, wow.
And he was doing that all week at practice. It just went under the radar because of Jermaine Johnson. He was doing that all week.
He is explosive, fast. His speed rush is legit.
It's just insane.
His speed rush is so good. I can see him coming in the NFL and giving some starting tackles in the NFL major fits over it. And his closing speed, once he gets free of the tackle, it's lightning fast. And you can see that because he caused some strip sacks because of that.
I like to say that Daniel Jeremiah called Boye Mafe a first-round talent on Twitter today.
I did see that. And we know how Daniel Jeremiah and Joe Douglas tend to agree a lot.
Oh, yeah. Daniel Jeremiah. If I want to know whatever Joe Douglas is thinking, I just read Daniel Jeremiah's tweets.
But another edge we need to talk about before we discuss our parting shots is that Myjai Sanders was
phenomenal.
Had just practice. As much as a good game as Boye Mafe. Quick around the edge. He consistently attacked the outside shoulder of Kennard. And Darian Kennard, who we unfortunately will not get to talk about in this podcast, but he is a very highly rated tackle. And he's potentially going to be a first rounder. And he was just having trouble containing him. And honestly, both tackles had issues containing the national team's edges all game long. And that's ultimately what decided the game.
My biggest thing of my Jay Sanders is I remember watching Cincinnati, Alabama, the semifinal matchup in the college football playoffs. And my Jay Sanders is what kept that Cincinnati defense in the game for as long as they were, because he was in the back, whether they're running or throwing, he was in the backfield play after play.
Exactly. Now, just some parting shots. I love this tight end group. The Jets need to target at least some tight end in this draft.
No,
they need to, especially with how we've seen Rob Calabrese utilize them in the game. It needs to happen. And it's going to be a major disappointment if not only Trey McBride is not a Jet, but also Jake Ferguson is not a Jet.
I think it's got to be at least McBride or Rucker, at least. And if somehow Schultz shakes free and you can sign him, then you can go after Ferguson, maybe like round four.
There were a lot of good things to see from this Senior Bowl, both practice and the game.
One thing we didn't really mention that much are quarterbacks. I know we don't.
There wasn't much to discuss.
And there's not much to discuss. We don't need one. All I want to say is Malik Willis just made pick number 10 a whole lot more valuable.
All I'm going to say is thank God the Jets decided to take Zach Wilson, because if we were taking a QB this year, all I have to say is yikes.
I can't get into it. The whole, if we kept Sam Darnold and got a quarterback this year, and now all of a sudden we're looking at Malik Willis at pick four. Like, I like Malik Willis, not at pick four, but I'm not getting into that right now. I'll talk for an hour if I get into that.
It would just be an absolute disaster. But on that note, we are going to conclude our first ever episode on the Revis and Butthead podcast with Joe and Hussein as co-hosts. We hope that you will tune in to our next episode airing next week. And feel free to like, retweet, and
promote just, in any way possible.
And just interact with us Jets fans, because if there's anything that we're passionate about, is we are passionate about watching football that makes us feel pain. And we're just hungry for some wins. And we're just hungry to watch some meaningful football into December.
I like to say that my best friends here are Packers fans. And they have no idea how to scout or watch the NFL draft because they never really had to. And screw them. I hope Aaron Rodgers leaves.
Honestly, that skill that the Jets have given me for always looking forward to the NFL draft might be their greatest gift.
They taught me how to scout.
They taught me too. Anyways, thank you everyone for joining. We will catch you next week.